We're live.
I'm the developer and brainchild behind Aesop, an easy-to-use set of tools that help you tell rich, interactive stories with an open-source WordPress plugin. No longer does it take 16 people 12 months on a custom CMS platform to build a compelling story experience. But Aesop, the power is now in everyone's hands. I'm Nick Haskins, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
tough. You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time.
Yeah. For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
That is right now. Welcome to Dradcast episode 34. So grab a book, light a fire. It's time for some storytelling. Dre, you made it. We can see your beautiful mug.
Storytelling, I've got graham crackers, some chocolate, and some marshmallows. Let's get this thing kicked off, brother. You can see me. Let's do this.
Nick, welcome to the Dradcast. How's it going down in the deep south? And if you talk about the weather one more time, the show's over. I can promise you that.
Doing well. Nice and warm. Thanks for having me.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's so Dre, I got to know, man. You were a bit laid out last week. You had some issues with the back, some old man problems. Are you all better? What's going on?
Not all better, but definitely moving in the right direction. They found that I have a slipped disc, which was pinching a nerve. And we're working on it. My chiropractor, Stephen Baines, who's an amazing dude, he also practices jiu-jitsu with me, has been helping me out. So going treatment every morning, and it's alleviated considerably. I can actually walk without feeling like a robot, you know, just the whole body moving. So on the right track, man, feeling better. Thank you for asking.
Great. That is very good to hear. And just like last week, I like to do everything last minute. And Dre literally just got his video working the 30 seconds before we went live, I think, thanks to the latest update from Apple. So thank you, Apple, for fixing that. Ooh, wow. Very, very excited. But let's get right into it, man. I want to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Heyo, well, I'll tell you, I'm off the map, for obvious reasons. I'm going to spend a couple weeks off here in hopes that I'll be able to compete March 12th. I don't know that that's going to happen yet, so I am sipping on a Newcastle Cabby. Now, these things are freaking awesome. You'll know Newcastle for their brown ales, which are amazing. They're out of Britain, good stuff, but this is their black ale. It's very reminiscent of your favorite Guinness, right? Not quite a Guinness, but certainly delicious in its own right. So try it if you get a chance. Newcastle Cabby.
That sounds good. Nick, what do you got over there?
I'm sipping on a $13 jug of Carlo Rossi Sangria.
I'm
a little sangria. Hard in the paint, man. I like to drink the wine.
That might be the first sangria we've had on this show. That's great.
I think so.
Good sangria.
Gotta keep it different.
Yeah, definitely already breaking barriers. Like, man, that's I like it.
I'm doing another Dradcast first as well. So I have right here my very first homebrew that I made. So this is a porter. I call the PC porter that I made a couple weeks ago, and it's actually pretty damn delicious. So cheers to you guys. I'm gonna be drinking my own beer tonight.
Salute to that. I can dig it. Oh man.
All right. Let's get into it because I want to learn just like everybody else. I want to hear all about Aesop's the story engine. But before we get into that, we would kind of like to dive in a little interview, Nick, and get to learn more about you and who you are and where you come from. So how did you're a developer by trait, I would say. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, that's about accurate.
Web developer. Yeah. So how did you get into just web development in general, not necessarily WordPress specific, but just web development?
I used to shoot pro photography for many years, and then when the cameras came down to cheap, everybody started picking up a camera and started shooting weddings and charging little. That market became very small. So around the same time, there was a Flash platform that was building websites for photographers. So I jumped on that, knowing that the space and the wedding photography was shrinking. So then I started building Flash websites for many years, which led into WordPress after Flash kind of started dying off when Ethan Marcotte came out with the responsive. That's when we started kind of heading into WordPress stuff. So,
yep. So it sounds like it kind of came out of your own need for a website that you could, you know, show your site, your photos on, your photography, and kind of showcase what you had. So you just kind of dove in and started playing around with it?
Exactly. Yep, that's about it.
How long ago was that? What, do you remember the version you were on?
Man, that was years. That was years,
years
ago. I mean, it was when Flash was still very popular when we were doing this. When Responsive came out, that's been, I don't even know, three, four years now?
Sure.
It was relatively recent in terms of years. So, yeah, recent.
The storyteller.
Cool. Yeah. So you got into, sorry, go ahead, Dre.
No, I think you got it there, Sunshine. Run with it.
Well, thank you, Moonshine. So you got into WordPress. It sounds like you probably started hacking around. It's funny. It's very similar to what I did. And mine was more just on the blogging front. But, got into blogging, kind of looking around, decided on WordPress. And then I just kind of want to keep tweaking it and making it do different things that it wasn't doing. Is that kind of the direction you took it? And were you kind of just hacking around it until next thing you know, you're a certified WordPress developer?
Yeah, well, we were doing Flash websites, and then we built a WordPress theme that integrated Flash headers from the Flash website that we built. So then when the Flash space started shrinking, we started moving over to WordPress, and I started developing for another WordPress platform that's kind of recently kind of gone its own way, but that's what's kind of delivered into WordPress. That job gave me a lot of what I know. Tacked on to the stuff that we knew from building the custom theme before. So on and off, I've been developing in the space for a few years now.
Very cool, very cool. And so that kind of rolls right into where we're at with Aesop. So why don't we get into that? Because I think that's what, at least for me, that seems to be what you're probably most known for at the moment. But Aesop being am I pronouncing that right? Is it Aesop?
Yep, that's it.
AESOP, if you're familiar. I feel like that's really been, I've seen that a lot over the past, I don't know how long it's been around, a month, a few weeks. You got a lot of buzz around this product. And I think it's interesting how it came to be, so I'd like to hear more about that. So it started out as a crowdfunding project. So why don't you tell us kind of where that idea came from and how that process went?
Yeah, so this original thing was actually a theme that was released back in September, October of last year. And then I was like, well, we'll just pull the functionality out into a plugin, so that anything could use it. This was back in November. So I started building the plugin rather, November through December, recorded a video and kind of was sort of getting people's thoughts. The video was inspired by Matt Report for, how to get people's feedback. So he inspired me, believe it or not, to record the video, put the video out, and it just, I didn't expect the level of stuff that it's gotten. I like to kind of remain hidden and kind of elusive, so to speak. So,
and this is, I did confirm, this is your first podcast video, first video yeah. podcast, I should say.
Yeah, it really is. I like to stay very much hidden and elusive. But
you came out for the drag. That's respectful.
We another drag cast. Another drag cast first. I can do that.
Took a couple glasses of wine, but I don't mind.
Hey, that's what the show is all about.
So yeah, the crowdfunding thing was a great way to kind of validate the idea. It is very, very niche. The idea. So the crowdfunding was a way to kind of validate the idea and to kind of provide funding for the rest of the development for stuff that I couldn't handle on my own. So that's what the crowdfunding kind of came into play, was to kind of finish development and kind of take it to the next level. And yeah, it did better than I thought it would.
So, yeah, you hit your goal. I mean, it looks like you're looking for 6,000 was the goal, and you actually exceeded that. How long did it run? Was it just a month? Was it longer or less?
It was a week, and the original goal was actually
a week. Wow. That's
yeah, the amazing. Original goal was actually 15,000, and we didn't hit that goal. And I was actually truthfully drafting up the, hey, we didn't meet our goal. Let's do this. And then when the guys from CrowdTilt emailed me and suggested let's lower it, and I emailed the people who backed and got their thoughts on lowering it, to six, and then we passed six at that point. So, it definitely got us started, and that's really kind of all that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the whole crowdfunding of open source projects is really interesting. Dre and I mean, we've talked about this. What, the last two or three shows, I think it's been brought up, yeah, and we've kind of asked least. The guests their thoughts. I think we both agree it's a really cool idea to kind of crowdfund open source projects. So, I mean, like you said, not only does it validate it, but it helps fund it. And a lot of times for a more complex, you know, product, whether it's a theme or plugin or something else or both, finding the time to work on something when you have a full-time job is very, very hard, especially if you have a family. Sure. You know, and you have responsibilities, and if something's not bringing in money, how do you spend enough time on it to justify it? So I think it's a really cool idea.
I only actually contribute if I get a T-shirt out of it. but no, that's absolutely right. You know, you're looking at finding a way to support La Familia, if you will, support yourself, and at the same time to take on something that could be really, really great, but it needs that effort, that assistance from the community to grow. Or to even start, right? How is that incubated? How does that manifest into something that maybe becomes your future kind of way of life? That's an exciting thing for open source, and I think we're going to continue to see more of that.
Yeah, definitely.
How many? This is actually a question from Bart in the chat room. He's wanted to know how many people you work with. I'm assuming that's in relation to Aesop and the project. Was it solely you, or did you have some other people contributing, or?
It's just me. I have a very tight-knit group of Skype people that I hang out with. Mike, one of them, gives me a hard time all the time there in the chat. Mike, Ellen, ET, there's a couple of friends that give feedback. But as far as the business end goes, it's and the development goes, it's all me for right now.
That's even more amazing, especially if you sit back and watch the video and definitely, you know, take it for a test drive. It's a pretty amazing product, especially for one person to develop it. It kind of hurts my head a little bit thinking about all that went into it. So, but very cool that you did it. And now, so when did the crowdfund end, and when did you actually release it? Because it is actually out there and available now, correct?
It was actually just last week. It went into WordPress repo, so it's now available in WordPress.org in the plugin repo. So the crowdfunding thing ended. I lose track of time badly. It was probably a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago by now. But yeah, it 1.0 is live. It's in the WordPress repo, working on bug fixes, and then working on themes at this point. That's kind of the next hurdle that we're trying to make is getting people on board with adoption.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that goes back to the kind of the crowdfunding piece of that I really like is you got money funded to build this, and rather than keep it or make it solely premium product, you decide to go ahead and open source the core of it. Now, it looks like you might have some premium avenues you're spending off of it, which I think is totally fine. But I love the fact that the funding actually basically funded it to make kind of the core product open source. Is that something that from day one you're like, this is what I want to do? Was there people that kind of you talked to and consulted with and they suggested you do it? Did you give thought to some other models as far as the release of that product?
Yeah, well, from day one, it's going to be free. You know, WordPress is all about, you know, democratizing publishing. It's going to be free, GPL. So from day one, the goal of it was to be 100% free. You know, fully GPL, take it, do what you want. Code's on GitHub. It's on WordPress. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you took a very different approach in terms of how the editor kind of interacts and how that feels. And what I mean by that, it's not so WordPress-y, if you will. and I think there's going to be a lot of changes, continual changes in the WordPress world as far as the editor, WYSIWYG, and the different things that are happening there. Do you see some type of, I get the answer that I want. Do you see some type of convergence there? WordPress maybe growing more into that, or Aesop kind of growing into something that becomes more standard in WordPress?
Yeah, we want to stay with WordPress. That's why we've been kind of holding back on the whole inline editing, front end editing thing.
Sure.
WordPress is going that direction. We see it. It's evident. Front-end editing, the meta group, meetings that are going on. So we want to ride along with WordPress. Whatever WordPress is going to do, I have faith in WordPress, put it that way, to take us as far as to the front end.
Next question around that kind of that same thing is that, man, you guys probably found a lot of stumbling blocks along the way and challenges creating the whole writing format and everything that's handled through the UI here. Where is your involvement maybe with WordPress and Core in trying to maybe evangelize for new direction or growth around what we're using in WordPress today? So that might be a good place for you guys to interject. This is pretty slick, man.
Yeah, I pay attention to make.wordpress.org. I see the feeds. I'm watching. I'm reading. I'm waiting. I don't know. It took me a lot to come on this, but not that I'm waiting for the right time. But there's, I just need to jump.
And this is where I was heading with that. Look, you guys put a lot of effort into this, and that's evident. And I think it's going to be widely successful because of that. There's a lot of contributors and a lot of people discussing and looking and lurking and talking around kind of the same things that need to happen inside of WordPress. I think that you guys would bring a lot to the table with what you've done there. So kudos to you, and I hope that you do jump onto the ship and start really, really commandeering this as an area that you guys can contribute towards. I want to step into one other area, NASOP, because this is kind of my world, the SaaS world. You guys are talking about a hosted version, and I'd like to learn a little bit more about how that whole thing will work and where you're kind of heading there.
So the hosted version was meant to... people that don't want to find a theme, don't want to put a lot of effort into building a story, can just sign up. They get their own site where they can sell their stories and tell their stories. They can invite other collaborators on and collaborate onto their story and get a cut of their story sell if they're selling their stories. So it was kind of a two-pronged approach. It gives you an avenue to tell your stories and sell your stories, and gives you an avenue to kind of collaborate with other photographers, illustrators, writers, and other like-minded storytellers to kind of collaborate on your specific story.
Now that you're spawning some collaborative kind of efforts there around the community that gets behind ASAP and that's using that, do you see some potential monetization structure or strategy that builds from your end out to your users at some point? And I just throw some questions out there because my hamsters are turning, man. This is kind of cool.
Yeah. So the
you love that sass.
The idea was it would be free. And you would publish one, two, or three stories for free. And then the pro, or whatever we call it, pro at that point, you pay to be able to sell your stories. So you're getting SSL, you're getting to be able to let your visitors collect credit cards on your site, which if you were to try to set that up, that's a couple hundred dollars in time and SSL certs and whole nine yards to set that all up. So... yeah. So, and then the technical expertise to kind of set the whole thing up. So, to kind of offer that for a very low, $7 to $9 a month type of thing. And that's where all those features would come in.
I think it's awesome. Is that how has that been received? Have you had quite a few sign-ups so far on the hosted side?
Well, I'm a developer, so it took me a lot to get the overall point across about ASAP, and it's still kind of confused, but I don't think I went in...
Whoa. I know a couple guys that can help you.
I didn't explain most enough, and I don't think... We have this poll out, and it's getting people's feedback on how they want to use ASAP. And the number one question is, do you want the plugin? Do you want to have more control, or do you want to just sell? Do you want to just tell stories? Only two have said we're interested in hosted. Everyone else is like plugin. So at this point, it's like, well, we're kind of, and the original thing with the 15,000 was we were going to have the money to do that. And since we lowered the goal to 6, it was said we may not be able to do the hosted now, but I still want to bring that to the table if that's something that's wanted, but
And I'll tell you, I'd be willing to bet that you get a little bit more traction on that if you're maybe asking the questions a little bit differently. A topic for another day, and I'm excited to maybe talk about those things with you. And the last question I want to bring up about this, because if you can't see, I'm a little bit excited about this. Where did the name come from? What did it stem from? How'd you come up with the name?
I don't even know.
Buddy, gotcha.
I'm going to have to come up with a good story now.
Don't tell us it's a random name. There's got to be a story. There's got to be something behind it.
Well, Aesop Fables storytelling, you know, that it kind of meshes together with it. I'm not exactly sure exactly how the name was come up with.
You're starting to sound like Mullenweg and
NPC. You told me you were going to ask me that question. I could have come up with a good answer.
Oh, shoot.
Could have prepared, man.
Well, and let's all take a sip of our drink. And holy cow, I'm excited about it. I think that I'm definitely going to kick my finger in the pulse here. I want to see where it goes. And
a lot of potential. It's very cool.
Certainly does. I'm excited to see where
and
it goes.
It's so new. It'll really be cool to see where you're at in six to 12 months from now and what's the direction you've gone. I think you're facing all those common challenges. When you bring something new to market that no one else is really doing, it's a challenge to understand the direction to go, because you can't look at what other people are doing, what success they've had or failures they've had, because it's a whole new road you're going down. So I'm in the same position with one of the products we're working on. It's like, you know, trying to figure out where do we go. We don't really have anybody to look at, so I feel your pain for sure. So it'll be interesting to see where those users kind of guide you, because I think that's ultimately what you're doing is correct. Learn from your users, find out what they want, and go that direction, because that's the direction you should go.
Hey, just like I'll offer it to you, Brad, you know, I'm always open to the opportunity of advising. Great organization.
Sorry, wrong sound.
So the last, Matt Madero says he thinks that the name is stems from a Warcraft character name. So we're going to leave it at that, and I think we should.
Wow, Matt, you uber nerd.
Big Brad, let's go ahead and move into pressing topics of the week, my friend.
Let's do it.
Word. Pressing topics of the week.
Wow, so releases. We haven't seen we haven't talked too much about releases lately, Brad. I don't know what the heck's going on. Maybe because I guess we did
people
last
need
week.
Need to release stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
We did a little bit about 3.8 and 4.0 and that being a big number and stuff, WordPress and Core with Matt last week. But beyond that, not so much. But Jetpack and 2.9, have you what's going on with this? What do we got going on? What have you added?
Jetpack... Jetpack 2.9 has some pretty awesome features. I got to be honest, I'm a little bit more excited about this release than I have been for past releases. So the big ticket features on Jetpack 2.9 is it now has multi-site connections.
Mm-hmm. One login.
With a single login. So basically for multi-site, if you use Jetpack and multi-site right now, it's a bit of a pain because there's kind of a disconnect between how Jetpack doesn't really understand us on multi-site. So each site's really kind of treated differently. But now you can actually master it all from a single account, and when it's network activated, you can get to the settings under network admin. You can configure it all kind of as a network admin, which you should be able to in multi-site. So that's a big, big win if you're in the multi-site networks. Another big one, another huge win, is it now has related content. This is really, really interesting because I don't know about you guys, but if you ever work on sites where you have to do related content, it's a challenge because there's a handful of decent plugins, but they are resource hogs.
They are beasts, bro.
A lot of hosts have straight up banned some of the best ones
absolutely
because
they
destroy the server. So it's really hard when it comes like, all right, related content time. What are we gonna do this time? You know. So I'm really hoping. I have yet to play with this, but I'm really hoping this is the related content piece that we can point people to and say, use Jetpack. All sites pretty much are using Jetpack now. If this works as good as I'm hoping it does, then this is a game changer for Jetpack. I'll put Jetpack on every site. And the final big ticket item, which I think Dre, you'll probably like the most, is SSO.
Sucky.
Yeah, it takes the security a little bit further and gives site admins the ability to require users to have two-step authentication enabled on their WordPress.com accounts before they log in, which... it's pretty important. Dre, I know you swear by it. I use it on a lot of my sites. WordPress, I know VIP is forcing it now. I don't know if WordPress.com is forcing it for admins.
Not, Not yet. I believe not yet, but I think that's something that's coming. Yes.
So if you're not familiar with two-step authentication, the idea is basically it requires two steps of authentication. So two forms of authentication, not just a username and password, but also a second step, which is generally provided through like a mobile application. You would link up an app on your phone, so every time you log into your site, it would give you a random generated code. You type that in the login. And it validates, you are who you say you are because you've logged in with the user account and the encrypted information on your phone. So
something you have, something you do, two form.
So this is a big release. I got to be honest, I'm pretty stoked about this. Dre, Nick, thoughts? You like it? You don't like it? You use Jetpack? You don't use it?
I use it. It's now short of the kitchen sink. I mean, it's the Mary Poppins of WordPress plugins, right? It's got everything in the bag there. But they're making the right steps in terms of some of that. For me, the security stuff, I think that the single login stuff is great. The multi-site connections with one login, super killer. I think it's right. I think they're moving the right direction. They're growing something really cool here. I wouldn't have said that a year ago about Jetpack. I was going, really? I didn't like the way that maybe some of the marketing initiatives around Jetpack were happening and how it was forced in certain instances. But in terms of the product and how it's maturing and the things that they're doing to secure it and add on to it, I think they're doing great.
Nick, you use Jetpack at all?
I do not. Hope it didn't ruffle any feathers, but I stopped using it when I saw how many scripts that thing was loading on the front. I haven't tried it in a while, but
it's gotten better. It could still be better, and I think it's. I think one of the biggest issues a lot of people run into is, like you said, you activate it and it's a little bit confusing.
Sure.
Well, all right, what's running, what's not running? Like, why is some of this stuff running and some not running when all I did was activate the plugin? So I think, and I know this is something they are actively working on, is a more intuitive UI, so it is more clear what's running, what's not running, you know? Just like when you look at your plugin dashboard, it's pretty obvious what's activated and what's not. Well, Jetpack, to me anyways, it's not that obvious. It's very confusing on what's actually activated and what's not sometimes. So it would, in my opinion, it would be nice if more things were shut off, so when you first turn it on, it didn't really do that much, and you had to kind of enable things as
opt
you wanted.
Opt-in. Yeah, exactly.
Opt-in more than opt-out. But again, you know, there's ways to turn that stuff off. If it's something you really want to use certain features on, there's plugins out there that can help you modify a little bit, or you can just, there's simple hooks you can tap into to kill a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I love the stats one of it. The stats module is
stats is great. Stats sharing, I really like the sharing aspect just because it's dead simple.
Yeah.
Sharing links. So, and they're actually, their development team is really awesome. Ben is one of the developers. Ben is the gentleman I was at his house doing Dradcast from last week. Shout out to Ben. Really hooked me up with internet. George is also on Jetpack team. I believe he's the lead. They're very receptive to pull requests, to changes. It's on GitHub. So, we worked to submit some filters and just last week, and those filters are already in 2.9. So.
Oh, good to hear.
Yeah, it's nice to know that they're very open to people submitting pull requests and helping out. So I'm gonna read a shout out real quick here.
I'm gonna shoot over to a shout out really quickly. I don't know that this is
so shout out to, and if you haven't already, go to dradcast.com, send us a shout out. We might even say it on the air.
Right on the right sidebar at dradcast.com. Thank you, Brad, for that for sure. This is a really interesting one, Nick. Someone's putting you on the spot here, and it's for a good cause. It looks like Mike Zylonka is saying, if we can get Nick to do a rap battle this week, he will donate $50 to the charity of choice. The only catch is he has to rap for at least 30 seconds and must mention how much of an asshole his buddy Mike is during the rap. So there's that.
Rap battles.
I'm kind of hood at times.
He said, baby, because I'm a thug.
You got 30 seconds of freestyling in your neck or not?
No.
Well, Mike, you should donate that $50 to charity anyways because I'm sure they could use it.
You know what? In fact, I'll donate the $50, and we'll still get it out to a charity of choice. We'll pick that before the end of the show, and we'll do it anyways. But let's save everybody's ears and our listeners, all three of them, from having to hear any rap on this show ever again.
Yes, that's probably a lot better. Squirrels.
That might be one of the better shout-outs we've seen.
Yeah, no, that was pretty awesome. That's why I had to read it. There's a revamp going on, but I think if we wrapped it again, they'd go ahead and delete my profile from WordPress.org. There is. Now, speaking of those profiles, they're on track right now to be totally revamped, which, as any of you that have visited the profiles, they're not exactly awesome. They've been around for about 300 years, that with not much effort or change since the beginning of the site going up. So this is pretty cool. I think this is really going to maybe get a little bit more visibility into folks that are contributing and such. Have you guys checked out kind of what's in mind there?
Yes, this needs to happen. This seriously needs to happen. Like, the profiles, were they first came out, were so cool. Everyone's like, oh, man, sky's the limit on what we could do with these profiles. You know, you could really bring in some cool stats. And they're really just bare bones right now. Like, it lists your plugins. It lists, like, support forum responses and then plugins you favorited. And I think that's about all, right? I mean, beyond that, I think that's really all it does. So it's really – and they haven't changed. You're right. It's been – 300 years, you may be rounding up a little bit, but
yeah, well,
they really haven't. I mean, there's so much potential with all the data on WordPress.org alone to, for sure, to aggregate some really neat stats. Like you mentioned.
Well, think about the whole profile in general, like what they could do there. I know that at CodePoint at one point, that was kind of what they were doing from a maybe company perspective. I think that WP Candy had some profiles at one point, but no one really has matured it. And I think that when you look at a place like .org, where you can not only pipe in kind of some resume type stuff, but in the same on the same page, bring in actual legitimate contributions that have been done to core, plugins, helping out in the forums, WordCamps, and all of those things. I mean, that could really build a pretty strong presence
for
somebody.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cool. Like, not only how many plugins, but how many downloads. You know, what's your total downloads? Have you crossed the million mark? You know, like stuff like that. How many themes? Total downloads. You know, they mentioned some things like track. You know, how many props? How many comments on track? They have access to all that data, and they could definitely aggregate that in. You know, WordCamps, I think, is really cool. Like, if you've spoken at a WordCamp, organizers could submit, you know, all the WordPress.com names of the people that spoke, and it could say, hey, Dre, you know, if you actually saw the number of WordCamps you spoke at, it would probably blow your mind, because you, like me, I probably have a rough idea, but I don't know the exact number. If the exact number was actually up there, it'd be pretty freaking amazing. It's something that I would, that profile would be something I would link up on a lot of my sites more so than I do now, because it would be literally, like, this is my badge of honor for WordPress contributions on this profile. Check it out. So I would have it right next to Twitter and Facebook. You know, here's my WordPress.com profile. And right now, there's just not a lot to show on there, so I don't really promote
it. Yeah, I mean, and we all contribute in different ways. I certainly don't have as many commits as anybody else. I've gotten props. You know, I've worked on different things in terms of content I've organized. I mean, there's just so many different things that we kind of bring together on those pages to really paint a picture as to how
badges.
Someone,
we need badges, man.
Badges, like, would be
you
awesome.
Hit the million plugin download badge.
That,
like,
dude.
That,
like,
that
yeah, I mean,
would be awesome.
This person's involved with WordPress. They're vetted there. They've been around it since whatever year. They've done all these cool things. Now, they've actually worked up a there's a working mock-up on the make.wordpress.org page, a sketch of the profiles. I just posted that in the channel there. We'll get those up on the show notes. But go check that out. Get your voice heard. Get involved with it. I think that's a really important piece that's missing for all of us that are involved with WordPress to really showcase and be proud of the stuff that we've done for the project.
Definitely get involved, because, you know, we know we could rattle off cool ideas all day long, but at the end of the day, it takes work to do that. And if it all lands on one person, it's probably not going to get done. So if we get a team of 10 to 20 people, probably knock out some of this stuff pretty quick.
That'd be so cool.
Nick, you ever look at your profile? You ever use it for any kind of promotions, or even know it exists?
Yeah. This is a good, accurate question to ask me. I looked at it the other day, actually. It was I didn't realize it listed how many your plugins. And when I first put my first plugin on the repo, it was not even 6 months ago, I started looking at the profiles. And I was like, well, maybe this is an area that we could likely contribute to later to make a little better.
Yeah, it has your plugins. I'm just looking at it now. It has all the plugins you've released. I believe it would also list themes if you have themes. And then it lists the plugins that you favorited, how you can favorite plugins now. And then it also lists an activity, which is, for the most part, I think, basically your activity in either track or the support forums. And that's kind of just a history feed, so it doesn't actually total up anything. But maybe it'll be fun in the chat room. Everyone drop a link into their WordPress.org profiles. We can kind of take a look at each other's. Let's see what we got. I actually have a fun little piece of JavaScript I'll drop in, too, that if you add it as a bookmark, I think I got this from Oz Richards. If you add it as a bookmark, you go to your profile page and you click it, it will total up all your plugin downloads and tell you what that is.
That's nice.
It's kind of neat because I'm kind of watching it like, am I getting close to that million mark? And I'm not close. But, you know, it's like one day I will be, and it'll be fun to kind of see that. I'll drop that script in the chat as well. But
cool.
That's a nugget. That's not my bar trick. That's just a little nugget I'm sharing.
See, look, share and share alike. I'm going to share another shout out. This is a guy that I've met a couple years ago. In fact, I've seen him probably as many non-WordPress events than I have WordPress events. This guy's name's Bob Dunn. If you don't know him, BobWP.com.
Bob's awesome.
Bob is great. Just a great guy.
You get Bob on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to have Bob on the show. He just launched a new site named BobWPTutorials.com. BobWPTutorials.com. So if you get a chance, go check it out. The guy, what he concentrates on is helping people and teaching folks about all sorts of things, whether it's plugins and widgets to themes, WordPress basics. He's done a couple ebooks and stuff. So there's my plug for Bob. He's a really cool cat. Go check him out. BobWPTutorials.com. All right. Man, we've got a lot of stuff, actually, Brad. This is great.
I was amazed. It's one of those weeks where you're like, oh, I don't think there's a lot of news, and then you actually kind of go out there and refresh your memory, and you're like, oh, there actually is quite a bit of news. So it's a good week for news. There's a lot of cool things going on.
So there's an article that was dropped on WP Tavern. Man, I'll tell you, the Tavern's just crushing it. They're doing a great job. Jeff and Sarah over there just doing a really good job. But they dropped the post around
Sarah more so than Jeff.
Yeah, well, that's –
I only say that because Jeff is listening.
Yeah, they're talking about Adopt Me plugin tag is now in use in the WordPress plugin repository. And the idea was, you know, recently they explored the question of whether or not a clear path for WordPress.org plugin adoption could help to lower the rate of abandonment. And now we know over time developers move on. They, for whatever reason, they just kind of let plugins go. They sit there, they die. They don't get updated. And then what? You know, you see a few other alternatives pop up. But a lot of times, maybe there's still some value there. So what happens to those plugins? Do they die altogether? Is there an easy path for them to be adopted and then revived, revamped, and remade? What do you guys think about this idea?
Yeah, Nick, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You're a plugin developer. You have do you have how many plugins do you have on .org? I know you have ASOP. Do you have any other plugins?
Yeah, I have two other ones. Most of my stuff has previously just been premium. And over the course of the last 6 months to a year, I started just releasing free stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, I like the idea because I've written some plugins that I just want to bury.
Now, do you want to bury them, or do you want someone to adopt them? Because those are two different tags altogether.
Yeah, altogether, same. You know, so in that sense, the Adopt Me program, I think it's an amazing idea, like for the users, because
sure,
in the end, they're the ones who are suffering. You know, you don't even realize when you say, "I don't want to, I want to dump this plugin." You don't realize how many possible right. thousands of people that are using that.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I so love I think
it. It's a great idea. Yeah, I totally agree for exactly that reason. It's like, it's a great idea. I remember at the WordPress Community Summit, this was one of the sessions I actually sat in was, you know, how to properly either retire, abandon, or hand off a plugin. And basically they said, yeah, email WordPress.org. You know, that was at the time, that was the thing to do. And everyone kind of agreed, yeah, it works. It's not great, though, right?
Yeah.
An email. So, I think this is a great idea, and a few people are starting to adopt. There's actually a big one sitting in there, WP Ajax Edit Comments. This is a big one that Ronald Harika, anybody knows, built this a long time ago, and I think he's finally gotten tired of supporting it. It has almost 300,000 downloads, so this is quite a big plugin that someone could kind of take over and adopt. It's obviously a complex plugin, but there are currently three plugins. I actually just read about this on Tavern today, so this is I did not realize this was happening, but I already know I have probably two or three plugins I'm gonna push a tag up on that. They're out there. Maybe people use them, maybe they don't, but I'm done with them. And it doesn't mean that they're not good, but it just means I'm kind of done. I'd rather focus on my other set of plugins that I am more focused on or passionate about. So I think this is cool. I hope it catches on, because I like to see, and it's pretty easy. Add a tag to your README, push it up to the .org, and it'll show up on that list.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is easy.
Oh, man. Well, some things aren't this easy, and it's changing people's perceptions about things. And oftentimes, the talking points that come up when people are talking about WordPress or things like its code base is messy. It's insecure. PHP is a terrible language. Building things for WordPress isn't really writing code, and so on. So this is something that came from... look, this is a great post.
That sums it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Great post by Tom McFarlane. He put out, actually, 2 days ago, The Hate and Vitriol of WordPress. Did you guys get a chance to read this article?
Yeah.
Man. I'm like, wow.
I pulled it up on my tab, and it's all the text is white. So I have read it, but I can't read it right now.
I keep having that same issue. I thought that was me.
Is that you too? Maybe it's a site thing.
Oh, man. I thought that was my Mac, because I've been having issues with it. So happy to know that I'm not alone.
Earlier. Tom, fix your site, man. What the hell is going on here? I don't know what's going on with the site right now, but all the text is white. So I think anyways, just in the article, and hopefully it'll be fixed soon, is that you do hear this. If you mingle in your local tech community, not WordPress, but tech community, this will come up, right? When people find out, you work on WordPress, they're either going to be like, yeah, WordPress, or like, oh, that's a piece of shit. That's basically the two sides. Or they're just like, I don't know anything about it. You know, I guess those are the three arenas. So, but generally speaking, you're on one of the two. You either like it and you use it, or you hate it. You know, and to me, I do a lot of, or have done a lot of, kind of CMS showdowns in town, like at various tech events where I kind of represent WordPress, and I'm up against like Drupal or, you know, Expression Engine or something. You know, it's usually four or five CMSs being represented. We show the kind of the pros to our platform and why people should use whatever platform we're representing. So basically, they usually always put me on last because WordPress is the most popular. And I literally sit there watching everybody the entire time talk shit about WordPress and what I'm going to say.
I so believe it.
It happens every single time. And I'm just like kind of giggling to myself when I get up there and I just pull up that number of active WordPress sites and just kind of point to it for like 30 seconds. And I'm like, that's why everybody keeps talking trash about WordPress, is because of that number, because they are on top by a lot for good reason. So, you know, you don't get to number one by a landslide if your platform is so terrible people can't use it, or the code base is so messy that it's a, you know, travesty to programmers everywhere. You don't get to number one. Could it be better? Absolutely. Nothing's perfect. It could absolutely be better. And open source is one of the hardest things to keep clean because it's a collaboration, but it happens every time. And I think Tom lays out some really good points, a lot of the things that you hear, but also kind of his response to those things and how he kind of approaches it. I wish the site would work, because I wanted to read a couple of his responses. I should have written them down.
I think it's a local problem because it's working.
Just refresh the page. It's a random issue. I wonder if it's the newest update to Chrome or something, because it happens randomly across several sites.
We should live debug. Let's live debug. All right. Inspector.
You refresh the work.
I'm refreshing. I can't get it. Working fine here. Yeah, it's not a JavaScript problem either, because I disabled, enabled, and in any event, I love what he wrote. I think he's dead on. I think we've all faced it if we've been around WordPress for any length of time. I know I'm a huge evangelist for the platform, the community, and everything that it's done for me, and it's done for the people that I know and love. I'll stand behind it 100%. You know, is everything perfect and daisies and kumbaya all the time? Absolutely not. We got our fair share of drama. We've had our fair share of security issues and the whole gamut of stuff. But so has just about any other platform and code base that you've seen out there. If you're going to tell me that .NET or Rails or even Node.js hasn't had issues, yeah, you've got some other news coming. The grass isn't always greener on the other side, but sometimes it is. I would say give it a chance. Go check it out. You never know. You might fall in love with WordPress. If you look at what Tom's done, he didn't start there. He came over, and despite the drama and the kind of hesitancy and feedback that he was getting on the negative side of making the move, he stuck by it. And look at the type of post that he's putting around it. The guy's awesome. I love the post. Crushed it, my friend. Crushed it.
Yeah, and Tom actually, he has some really great posts. So if you're looking for some good posts, not only on, he's very technical, he has some great developer articles, but also some very good non-technical articles like this one. So if you're looking for some good reads, definitely go to Tom's site, because I've always enjoyed his articles.
Good stuff. Oh, man.
Now he just needs to fix it so I can see it, but other than that, it's a great site.
It's working fine, man. It's a local problem. Your machine's broken.
Ah, they must hate Philly. I don't know. I'm cashed.
It rules everything around you. So WordPress.com, it's adding add some new partners. It's trying to lower their barrier to entry to e-commerce. So now you've got a few different options in terms of e-commerce right there at WordPress.com. So they're continuing to just kind of stockpile the different features and capabilities and things that WordPress.com is doing. What goes next with this? Because e-commerce is a pretty big move. It's a pretty bold move considering where they started was offering free blogs, right? They started to add some niche capabilities. They started adding third-party themes and such. Now e-commerce, what have you?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a smart move. It's interesting to me because WordPress.com has a lot of paid premium features. This is one of those ones that's it's not like out of the realm of possibility for most users to afford, but it's much higher than most of their add-ons currently. I think most of their add-ons are anywhere from $10 a year to $50 a year, maybe $100 a year, and this is $300 a year. So they're really kind of upping that price point, and for good reason. It's e-commerce, right? It's more complicated. Nick, you mentioned earlier when you're talking about SSL and accepting payment, $300 a year is nothing. You know, that's the minimal cost. But, I mean, imagine with the millions of users they have, if they get a small fraction of people to upgrade for $300 a year, I mean, they're going to bring in some bank off of this one feature alone, I think. This really kind of opens the door to a lot of people to get into that e-commerce market.
Yeah. Yeah, especially
with some options.
Yeah, especially with a lot of free, you know, plugins that offer e-commerce already.
Oh, yeah.
That's a no-brainer right there.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because I feel like they started small with their update, their upgrades where it was, you know, smaller stuff, $10-$20 a year, and they're slowly kind of increasing it higher and higher and higher, and I kind of expect that to keep happening. I expect them to keep offering more business level features that people are going to pay $300-$500 a year, maybe even get to where they're paying $90, you know, $100, $200 a month for some of the stuff, you know. So I think they're really trying to see how they can increase that revenue model on the business angle versus, I think, most of their stuff up until maybe when the first e-commerce offering came out was geared more towards the individual bloggers, you know, the users. So it's interesting. You can tell they're making a push to make some money, which I think is smart. They have investors, so at the end of the day, they need to make money for those investors, right? So
yes, good
on them.
In large bucketfuls. So at the same time, they want you to do it in a safe way and legally. So what they've done at Automatic, Legalmatic, if you will, is open sourced their terms of service. Did you guys see that link on that, man? You can now they opened a Git repo where you can actually download. Seriously, they open sourced some of their legal documents. So and they actually call it Legalmatic.
Oh my god. I got it. Damn. Oh, you can come up with a better name than that. Legal.
Legal.
How is that even possible? How can you open source legal documents? You know, if I go in there and do a pull request and change it from automatic to Brad-o-matic, it's not going to get accepted.
You know, it's funny. The opening statement under Legalmatic is democratizing WordPress.com legalese since 2014.
It's ambitious. I can't say I've ever heard of this before, but yeah, they've only had two commits.
Yeah, I think I'll let my legal team handle it, but kudos to them for doing it. They released it under the Creative Commons license. It's free
The one thing I will say that the nice thing about this is you can easily do diffs. So you can say, see what the commits were, what the changes were very quickly and easily versus trying to scan, like, you know, these huge documents side by side. Like, at least in that aspect, that's a good thing, right? You can easily see what's changed each time.
Too funny.
Diff terms of use. That's what world is this?
Man, I'll tell you what. I've had one too many of these Newcastle cabbies, and I think we should move on to our Bart tricks, Brad.
We should. So we are going to move on to Bart tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Dad. I'm excited because I have three names in the show notes, and I have three bar tricks. Like, this has probably happened once, maybe twice, in the history of Dragcast, so I'm really excited about this. Nick, go ahead and fire away your bar trick this week, bud.
Yeah, so you have three filled in, because I literally filled this in previously about an hour ago, but Adam.io, I'm pretty stuck with my text editor, but this one that's put out by GitHub seems to be web app style. I haven't looked too much into it. I requested a beta invite, and yeah, interesting. GitHub put it out, so that's neat.
But it's got some push behind it. That's good.
Yeah. Seems it has quite a few packages already, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
And that's at adam.io. Bradford, what do you got for us, brother?
I've got one. Yes. Crazy. What day is this? So my bar trick this week is actually an initiative around WordPress Core, and there is a team around the metadata project. So they are working on an official metadata API to handle more than just currently in WordPress. You know, you can save and update and delete your metadata, and you can build kind of meta boxes to do all that. Well, they're working on an API to kind of roll that into one big API, so you can kind of define these meta boxes. You can define the fields within those meta boxes. You can define what type of fields they are, if it's a text field or maybe a file upload or maybe a calendar date picker, maybe a color picker. So a few lines of code, think of like registering a meta box now or registering a custom post type, very similar, where you would just register your meta box, attach it to different post types, and it would handle all the saving of data, scrubbing of data for security. It would handle all of that. And right now, pretty much everybody does it a different way. So it would be very nice to get this standardized, get it in core. There is a team that is being led by Scott Kingsley Clark. They are rallying around it. They have a GitHub repo. They're working on building this out. I would love to see something like this get into WordPress 4.0. I think it'd be huge. So if you're interested, if that interests you at all, I know they could use the help. So if you go to make.wordpress.org, the latest post is about the metadata project. They have some links on there, which we'll include, that can get you into where you would subscribe. And they do meetings every Friday online. So the next one's Friday, February 28th, this Friday, at 1400 UTC. So you can look that up on the post. Those meetings take place in IRC, in the WordPress-Core-Plugins IRC channel. So check it out. I would love to see this get in the core. I'm going to get involved. I know a lot of people are, but we could definitely use more help. So
that's cooking right there. Well, that is a pretty damn good bar trick, Brad. I'm going to close out bar tricks this week by letting everybody know that my good friend and co-worker Tony Perez and myself, Dre Arbeta, are going to be on WP Weekly next week. We're going to be doing a security roundtable.
You're with the guys over there.
I am, but you know, I got a soft spot for Jeffro and the team.
Yeah, they're doing good things over there.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have been invited to go do this. So we're gonna try and do a good job for Jeff over there. So join us next this Friday, February 28th. Yeah, so that'll work. Man, it's been a hell of a show. We've got a couple great events coming up. Next weekend, WordCamp St. Louis, WordCamp Lancaster, PA. Joe from Security will be there at Lancaster, so go say hello if you get an opportunity. The following weekend, he'll be up in Dayton, WordCamp Dayton. Weekend after that, the 14th and the 15th, is WordCamp Atlanta. That should be a really, really killer event. Tony will actually be there, so go say hello, get you some stickers, maybe some T-shirts and stuff. I think, I don't know if we should announce or maybe not announce, but it looks and sounds like, or maybe we announced already, that in Miami, the Dragcast will be on deck and ready to rock and roll. So come have a frosty beverage with us at the after party. Come say hello, get some stickers and some stuff from us. We'll be there hanging out for WordCamp Miami. What a fun show today, guys. I hope, Nick, you enjoyed. We're glad to have had you on board, and I appreciate your time here on the show. Where can people find you? Twitter, Facebook, or otherwise?
Yeah, twitter.com/ @npHaskins on Twitter. At ASAP Interactive with no E on Twitter.
Ouch. And I want to make sure we get the website for your main site, ASAP Stories, because if you're listening and you're not getting links live, it's AESOPStories.com. So AESOPStories. That is your main site, and they get all the information about not only the free version, but also the hosted version. You have a cool playground there. You can play around with it. It's really, really neat. I was playing with it earlier. So love showcases where I can easily kind of see what you're doing.
Aesop. Go check it out, folks. Killer stuff going on there. Man, you crushed the show, episode 34. Brad, where can we find you, my brother?
You can stalk me on Twitter at WilliamsBA.
Well, hell, there's we summed it up pretty quickly. Well, for the Rad and the Doctor of Drad, this is episode 34, folks. Have a good one. We're out.
See ya.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drad.